Hello and welcome to episode, well, Chris Judd.
A. McKay.
Yeah.
S. Petrovsky Seaton.
Oh,
where does it end?
Well, based on current form tone, that name sits not uncomfortably.
Oh, he's a beautiful player, isn't he? Geez. We've only caught a glimpse, haven't we, Tone?
But it
does whet the appetite, doesn't it?
There are more green shoots than a panda having dinner. I'm going to say it's so wonderful. Tony DiBolfo and Tony Moclair here. I just want to say thank you to the great Tony Tardio who filled in last week.
Magnificent performance by Tone. And timing's everything, isn't it? Hot on the heels of a meritorious Carlton win over Essendon. He was off the long run, ready to go, and thoroughly enjoyed his time here, Tony.
With that beautiful, magnificent, sonorous voice.
Yes.
Now, can I tell you, I spent last week in Adelaide with the family. What Tony Tardio has done is to successfully raise a son who barracks for Carlton. Now, he's a magnificent kid, I've got to say, Damien Tardio, and is a Carlton fanatic.
Yes.
The low light of the trip to Adelaide last week with the family, Tone?
What was it?
Football park, my son insisting that we buy him a $90 Crows Guernsey jumper.
I'm sure you would have talked him out of that nonsense.
No, it was done. It was a done deal. So I just want to say, Tony Tardio, congratulations to you as a parent. You have done the right thing and ensured that the next generation, the torch has been passed to the next generation. It's still a work in progress for yours truly, though.
Well, I've got a boy who has, well, truly been told that if he supports anyone other than Carlton, he's out the door.
Good.
So that's worked a treat, Tony. And my two daughters gleefully support the Blues also.
Well, I've got one of our children does. It's the other one who's a work in progress.
And yes.
I should have made him walk back from the festival state. It's a beautiful place, which has been very kind to the Carlton Football Club.
It
Craig
has
Bradley,
indeed.
Stephen Kernahan,
Ed Al.
Motts,
what a great troop of players they were. And yes, great men of the Carlton Football Club for sure.
Now, I didn't get to discuss the Essendon game, which was a magnificent four-quarter effort in the wet. And I think there were residual signs of the physical toll it took on the players during the Suns game. Is that an unfair thing to say, do you think, Tone?
Look, it's a fair observation, I think, Tony, particularly when you look at how Essendon fared interstate also. You know, it was a pretty solid affair, and you know, a few of the players I spoke to said that they were a bit sore and sorry for the experience at the waterlogged MCG. So you know, there might be merit in what you say. In saying that, looking at the Gold Coast Suns game, I was actually reasonably bullish at half time. The team had fought their way back into the contest and actually held a well-earned lead, the main change. But in retrospect, they probably let it slip earlier in proceedings. There were opportunities lost. I think, you know, Jared Pickett, an exciting machine, had two opportunities to really finish off his good work with shots on goal that he missed. And Charlie Curnow similarly had two set shots that he fluffed. But in saying that, I'll say this about both players, Tony. I think both Charlie Curnow and Jared Pickett are on the cusp of breakout games.
Yeah.
You can just see the raw talent on show, and it's just a case of them getting, you know, that consistency of performance and basically putting four quarters together, which will take time, young bodies, obviously. But I think what we've seen in those players and so many other teenagers that took to the track at the weekend, you know, I think there were six in all. You can't help but be enthused for the future and what it holds for Carlton.
Well, watching Carlton now, I mean, you can, I guess, cop the loss because the journey itself, and I know we've used that word a lot, is really exciting. Watching Carlton play is genuinely exciting
now. It is, because of the way Brendan has them playing. You know, it's taking the game on and backing yourselves. And I think Carlton supporters, by and large, I've said this for a while, Tony, they do get it. They understand the journey. They understand the raison d'etre, you know, behind Bolton's blueprint. And they're going with it because they can see where the journey is taking them. Who knows how long it will take, but you know, we're on the right side of the J curve, aren't we? We're on the way up.
Well, recruiting's a funny thing. If you go back to how we were recruiting and then Sosa's ability to just pick the eyes out of the draft and deliver, as you said, excitement machines like Pickett, like SPS. Fisher's goal, for example, completely uncowed by the setting. It just like he'd been playing AFL, you know, his entire life. Yeah. It was glorious.
It was shades of the Dominator turning on to the left. I must admit, I thought that, you know, those great old days here when he was kicking the Heatley stand in. It was like that, Tony. And yes, what you've articulated there is excitement. And it was just magnificent to see these young players going about their business. And I think I mentioned to Tony Tardow last week, Tony, the thing with the younger players is there's no fear. You know, these fellows at this time of their lives consider themselves bulletproof. Mm. And it doesn't matter the opponent or the reputation of that opponent, you know, we'll take you on.
Yeah.
And that's it's rubbing off. That sort of positive frame of mind is really, really become infectious. And we actually see it in the way that our senior players are going about their business. It's great.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. It's like the tide that floats all boats equally, that old saying.
Yes.
And you do see an increased work rate from Murph, who's been magnificent. Gibbs has been magnificent.
Cruiser's jumping in.
Kerno the Elder, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just it's across the board, across-the-board return. And I think that's what is so inspiring to all those watching on, that you can see that this is the team that's really, you know, taking the contest on, and they're playing for each other as well. It's just magnificent to see. There's so many admirable traits in the way the team is performing. And as I said at the Essendon game, it wasn't so much that we won, it was how we won. And I think that's what's so pleasing about the way the team's going about their work at the moment.
Yeah, it was a dogged, committed four quarters.
It was.
Now,
it
let's cover off a few things from the Suns game. In terms of goals, Silvani the Younger, my God. God, he's wonderful. Casbolt 3, two of those, I think, in junk time.
Yes. Levi's presenting himself, taking some great marks at the moment. You know, we want to see him impose himself on the game for longer periods, I think it's fair to say. You mentioned Murphy. I mean, Murphy's in stellar form. Mm. And, you know, the advantage of an uninterrupted pre-season is really, really showing. And we mentioned Cruiser similarly, just moving more freely than at any stage of his career, I think. Fisher again, you know, magnificent debut, and had played under a fair bit of pressure too when you think about it. The number 25 on the back, and as we alluded to during the week, made his senior debut on the same day Jezza debuted in the number 25 50 years ago.
How about that?
So that's the planets aligning for sure. And he had met Jezza recently and Fev, the other wearer of the 25, at a function at Raheen, met both plays for the first time and said after the match at the weekend how honoured he was to wear the Guernsey of those two great Carlton players. So he's a will-o'-the-wisp character. You know, he's a bubbly, enthusiastic type of young fellow. I'm having the great pleasure of interviewing him later on today for an article for the website, Tony.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about this young West Australian.
CarltonFC.com.au.
That's the one. And it's just great to see players like him going about their business.
I want to get to two things. First, a mooted debut that could happen, that could be announced this week. But Paddy Cripps, he's taken knocks. Bolts referred to this in the press conference that the opposition seems to be targeting his upper body. He took a few bruises, and that's on top of the hairline fracture on his jaw. He's attracting a lot of attention, obviously, because he is such a great player. But and you had mentioned off air, he's interrupted pre-season as well.
I think that injury interrupted pre-season is compounding what you're saying with the other injuries he's taking as a legacy of the sheer physical nature of the game.
Yeah.
He is magnanimous enough to admit that's football. You know, you have to. Yes, it happens that you break down over the summer. Not ideal. Yes, it happens that you get attention, I suppose, for being a player of increased stature in the game. You have to find a way through. That's simple as that. There's no handouts in this caper. It's pretty ruthless. And I think what he's trying to do is just chip away and hopefully get through this injury period and get through the duress, and hopefully it'll turn around for him. But I think what we're learning about Patrick Cripps is what a big heart he has. Mm-hmm. And him being there has got to be of advantage to the likes of Murphy and Gibbs, who would otherwise be themselves targeted.
Yeah. That's true.
It's strength in numbers, isn't it?
I want to get on to the debut of possibly Paulsen, which you might be able to tell us about. Before we get there, Jakob Viettering was...
our friend.
He was, Gastro, as we call him, both ends. Nothing was going to stop the Tom Lynch show. It was a virtuoso performance an emerging great of the game.
Well, if you look at the difference in the scores, I mean, Lynch was the difference, wasn't he? And, what a great player he looks, or he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a big fellow that's athletic, can move, and he couldn't miss, Tony. Oh. He could sit him anywhere he was going to kick them. But... you know, looking at Tom Lynch playing, we've got another player here going around in the Magoos, Harry Mackay, who is a rangy left foot kick, big fellow, presence, athletic. Hopefully we will get to see Harry at some point. You know, he's just got to string a few performances together. But I think for current supporters lamenting, you know, the lack of goal-kicking power up forward, you just pencil the name Harry Mackay in because I think he's the man that might be that missing piece of the puzzle up front. And
he has the same sort of buzz, the same sort of, buzz that Cripps had before he debuted.
Yes, yes. I think, there's that expectation with Harry, but just because of, I suppose, the physiology. You know, the fact he's a big fella that, moves so freely and can really cover the ground and... I think all he needs is game time. He too had, a back-related problem last year, which did sit him back somewhat. Mm. He seems to be through that now and he's getting games together. And with every game, you'll no doubt see continued improvement. And he will be close. He'll be thereabouts. But as you said, with young Paulsen may be a little bit closer at this stage.
Okay. What's his background? What can we expect? How likely is he to be picked for the game against Port Adelaide in Adelaide this weekend?
Yeah, well, Paulsen, if memory serves, was a Sandringham boy from down the bay. Has certainly impressed in the contest in which he's played so far. I had a bit of a look at the curtain raiser. The team took on the AIS 22 at the weekend, and he was certainly, an active contributor to the team's cause at the weekend. He has shown consistent performance through the two so far, and I would imagine he would be pretty, pretty close. And what we do know with Brendan Bolton is that if players show form, they'll be promoted. You know, it's not about reputation, it's about scores on the board. And I think the Pulsinator's been pretty close to getting the nod. So let's see what happens as the week transpires.
Before we go into just previewing the Port Adelaide game, your players, 3-2-1 for the Two Tones Player of the Year.
Yes. Well, look, I gave my first vote, Tony, to Master Jack Silvani. You mentioned him earlier. Three-goal return up forward on a day where goals were particularly hard for Carlton to score. I think what impressed me so much about Jack is how much of a thoughtful player he actually is. He knows how to make position. He knows where to run. He's a very good reader of the play. He's also, when the chips are down or the whips are cracking, whatever cliche you want to use.
Backs against the wall.
Backs against the wall, thank you. He's always there, to support the cause. I think back to the incident with Cripps against Melbourne.
Yeah.
Where Jack was one of the first in to take...
Oh, that was magnificent.
...to take on the Melbourne player.
Yeah.
Who shall remain nameless. But I just like the way Jack's going about his footy. And Tony, I think one of the highlights for me... old crusty seasoned journalist, was after that Essendon game to interview Jack following his first win for the club.
Yeah.
And you could just see what that meant to him.
The photo of him in the pouring rain.
Yeah, it was a magnificent shot. So you know that there is a player that bleeds blue for the Carlton Football Club. And again, we talked about those other players, you know, how their enthusiasm rubs off. Well, I think Jack's that sort of player as well. You see the way he plays and he just you know he's playing for the Goons, he's playing for Keeps, yeah. And it's just magnificent to see. So
one vote to Jack Silvani. A little known fact, his grandfather played for the club and played one or two games.
He was handy. he was rather handy.
So two votes?
Two votes to the Doc. I think Sam Doherty's having a magnificent year. I just love the way he takes the
really
footy.
That's really saying something.
Rebounding halfback flanker. Superb player. Isn't, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to be getting too much attention from the opposition.
He's fine by me.
And that is fine by me and fine by him. I mean, he just seems to be controlling that zone at the moment. He's made that halfback line his, and I just love the way he plays. He's desperate.
The rebound from the halfback line is magnificent.
Oh, it's absolutely magnificent.
In the first half, it was great.
Yep.
Fell down in the third, but...
Yes.
To kind of see attacks launched from that line is fantastic.
And the way he throws himself at the ball with, you know, gay abandon, as they say. I love the way he plays.
Not that there's anything wrong with that abandon.
Not at all. This is the 21st century. And three votes, Tony, to the skipper. He just goes from better to best, doesn't he, really? Mark Murphy, superb game. Again, a player here who we can see has benefited from a full crack at it over the summer, and is playing probably the best football of his career. You know, we talk of consistency performance. Murphy's a consummate professional, been around a long time, knows how to string them together.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as we get a few mates of his doing the same, you know, the sky's the limit. So all power to Murph. You know, he's a player that, to my way of thinking, doesn't get a hell of a lot of protection from the umpires, but he just plods along in his merry way, you know, takes all the slings and arrows, as they say, and is really leading from the front as a good captain should right now. So all power to Murph. May continue for him.
Just quickly before we go, Tone, a preview of the Port Adelaide Carlton game, Friday 21st of April, Adelaide Oval, 7:20 p.m. It will be on Channel 7.
Yes, it will be.
That's the good news. So we do love that.
And this is the Heralds in the Anzac Day round, obviously. We remember our boys that played for the Carlton
and
Football Club that are lost
in
battle.
You can do that by coming to Icon Park and seeing a memorial that is appropriately at the front of the ground, which
very,
I love.
Very true. You like that. It's a fitting memorial to our men that were lost in a greater battle than that of a Saturday afternoon on a wet sodden ground in Melbourne.
Ain't that the truth. Tone, how do you see us getting over Port Adelaide? What do we need to do?
Look, I think the buzzword, Tone, we've probably alluded to it through the course of the podcast, is consistency, you know, consistency of performance. And I think not so much, yes, you do worry about the opposition, but I think a lot of it is about us. You know, what can we do to dictate terms? And you know, if you reflect on the Essendon game, that was as close as we've got all year to a four-quarter performance. And if Carlton can turn in four-quarter performances like that one, they're going to win more games than they lose. So I think, to my way of thinking, you know, the buzzword this week will be consistency. Another term that surfaces in football these days is tempo and controlling the tempo. And I think that game against Gold Coast was lost in the third with that, you know, seven-quarter to one run-on. And I think that if Carlton can just work out ways of halting an opposition team's run like that, just to, you know, whatever it might take to just halt the momentum and wrest momentum back, it's going to serve them well going into future performances. So I think what we want to see from the Carlton team Friday night against Port is consistency of performance and tempo football. Let's see what they have learnt from the loss, because it's often said, Tony, you learn more from a loss rather than a victory in many respects. So,
It was 2015. It was Cruiser's first game back in a long time. John Barker coached. Mick had been given the flick, and it was at the MCG, and it was a win conjured out of seemingly nowhere. It was a magnificent game of football. It was a great night.
It was a great night.
Carlton supporter.
You think back to John Parker and what he did for the club in its, you know, hour of need.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fabulous. Oh, I do remember that occasion.
That was a great night.
And it was a great night. And, you know, in some respects, the Essendon performance more recently was like that.
Yeah.
It was just the way they played. As I said earlier, not so much that they won, but how they won.
Yeah.
And I think Carlton supporters, by and large, they just want to see honesty of performance. And really, they're getting that. They're getting that in the team. You know, they're getting glimpses of it. You know, okay, admittedly not for as long as we perhaps like through cut and thrust of a game, but it's a work in progress. We all know that. And good times ahead, Tony, I'm
indeed,
sure.
Indeed. The most upbeat I've been in a decade, I've got to say, Tony.
Well, that's what Kangaroo Island will do, dear.
Oh, well, magnificent place, what can I say? So that is Carlton v Port Adelaide, as I said, Friday 21st of April, Adelaide Oval. Catch it on Channel 7.
Absolutely.
Or travel over and see the club at the magnificent Adelaide Oval, yes, which is a great venue and well worth visiting.
Very true, Tony. And in closing, I would just say that Thursday, April 20th, marks the 60th anniversary of the great John Nicholls' senior debut.
How many years?
60 years.
Oh,
1957,
my God.
The Easter Saturday, I think it was, in 57.
Yeah.
Played out here at the old Carlton Ground against the Hawks. And I think he started in the back pocket and was there for about a quarter of a bit and then thrust onto the ball.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever left the, no, the centre for the next 18 years. But there will be a little interview, hopefully, with Big Nick on the Carlton website this week, reflecting on that that first of, you know, more than 300 magnificent games for the Carlton Football Club, their greatest ever footballer, Tony.
What a record, what a contribution, of course, where we record the Carlton podcast, a very large image of the great man dominates the room, and well it should. Thank you for that, Tony DeBolfo.
A pleasure, Tony. Lovely to see you back in shorts and sandals, I might add.
Well, you know, it's the last cusp of summer. They will be put away in mothballs for the coming winter season. Tony Mugley here signing off. On behalf of Tony DeBolfo, for the two Tones, we will catch you next week.
Bye-bye.